Shalom Aleichem, everybody. It's great to continue learning together. B'siyata d'shmaya, we're up to our second shiur of counting from Pesach towards Shavuos, and how can we, as the sun is about to set in Eretz Yisrael, going from Lamed Beis Laomer to Lamed Gimel Baomer, how could we not talk about the development of going from Yetzias Mitzrayim to the point of Kabbalah Satorah of Shavuos without spending time thinking about what the significance of Lag BaOmer is in that particular process? It could be, if it was just Bimikre, Rak Me Hashem, coincidence, quote unquote, that the Yartzei Reb Shimon Bar Yochai falls out during Sfiras HaOmer. And the mourning for Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's compatriots also falls out during the period of Sfiras HaOmer. But there's no such thing as a coincidence. And the issues that are at play for Lag BaOmer are very much connected to the essence of what Sfiras HaOmer is all about. Now, we spoke about last time that there are two components of Sfiras HaOmer. There's one component of Sfira, which is expressed in Parshas Emor, where the Torah HaKadoshah says, "Usfartem lachem mimachras haShabbos, shetei Sfira lekol echad ve'echad," that every single individual counts. And last time we developed that that's a very personal, intimate counting of Sfiras HaOmer. The Shem Yishmuel taught us last time that that counting of Sfiras HaOmer is the counting of the individual growing from Meichel Behema, an individual whose status is one that's, God forbid, like an animal, to an individual who refines himself to the pristine Selem Elokim, who's ready for Kabbalah HaTorah. And we also saw that there's an entirely different count of Parshas Re'eh. And that other count, the Shiva Shavuos Tispar Lach, is the count of all of Klal Yisrael together. All of Klal Yisrael together counting towards Kabbalah HaTorah. Lach as one unit, all of Klal Yisrael as one unit together. And what happens at Shavuos is you have a dialectic where on the one hand, every individual works on those things that needs to be improved inside of themselves, and then they grow together as part of the tzibur that is absolutely necessary for Kabbalah HaTorah. Vayichan Sham Yisrael Keneged Ahar Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad. So we have two spheros. Today what we're going to focus on is the personal sphera. Next week, we'll spend more time on the collective sphera, but we're going to focus on the personal sphera of Sfiras HaOmer, and particularly how it relates to the yahrzeit of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and how it relates to Lag BaOmer. There's an amazing, amazing piece from the Bnei Yisachar in Maimar Gimel Ois Aleph. And the Bnei Yisachar develops that the term Lev Tov, which is found in Mishle and has references in Kabbalistic thought, a good heart, has references throughout Kabbalistic thought, is primarily presented in Lag BaOmer itself. And what we're going to develop in Siyata D'Shmaya today is how a Lev Tov, a good heart, is directly connected to so many of the mysterious things of Lag BaOmer. What Lag BaOmer represents, what it means, what it teaches us. Of course, on its most basic level, Lag BaOmer falls out at a transition. A transition between from Lamed Vez, that means 32, to the word Tov, when added up, is Tes, is 9, Vav is 6, Vez is 2, 17. 17 plus 32, that's the culmination of Sfiras HaOmer. toward Shavuos. And the Bnei Yisachar drives at the idea that we, and actually right now I'm seeing on the screen, there are a couple of people here from Eretz Yisrael. We in Eretz Yisrael right now at this moment are going, Shkia is going to be in about a half hour. At this moment, we are going to a transformative place where we go from lev, from heart, towards tov. We need to understand what is that transformation from lev to tov. But we're going from this moment from lev to tov, lamid beis v'omer, 32 days to the omer, not simply to the 33rd day to the omer, but beginning to the process of tov. The reference of this in Kabbalah is that the 32nd word, of course, Maisa Bereshis, Sefer Bereshis, is absolutely central in all tenets of Kabbalah and Hasidus. The 32nd word is Tov. See the Bnei Yisachar who elaborates in very, very profound Kabbalistic ways that's a little bit beyond our scope for tonight. But says the Bnei Yisachar, there's the heart, and then there's the process going towards Tov. On the most basic level, there is the Avodas Hamidos of being an Eved, of being in servitude to Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim, of course, represents Shetufei Zima, the enmeshment of humanity in indulging its desires. Lev is the process of working through that Yetzer Hara, to the place that the Yetzer Hara becomes Tov, and Tov, Ein Tov, says the Gemara in Brachos, Ela Teira. Teira is the ultimate Tov. And so somehow the bridge of 32 to the rest of the 17 introduces the component of Torah. In what way does the Yahrzeit of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, the celebrations of Lag BaOmer, bring us to this place of Tov? So in order to really understand what Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai represents, to really get into the essence of our avoda, which is so profound at this time, is we have to ask two very simple and basic questions about Hilula Dirashbi, the Yahrzeit of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Now, up until Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, and even after, probably until the advent of what we call modern Hasidus, modern for us Jews means 300 years ago, the Baal Shem Tov Zechusa Yogan Eleinu, the death of an individual, even a holy one, a pious one, wasn't expressed in happiness, wasn't expressed in joy. Whoever's been zoche to go to Miron in better years, and really tapped in to what is going on in Miron, not the stuff on the outside, the pnimius. There's a tremendous joy that's poretz, that jumps out from all of Klal Yisrael, all Jews, all types. And somehow, the Yahrzeit of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is a radical shift of the way in which we look at the death of a tzaddik. The Gemara Nedarim says that a person that you respect and love, Yom Shemes Boi Aviv, when a person has Yahrzeit, they fast. It was a sad day. It wasn't a happy day. The Kroz Zechusa Yagan Aleinu, before he passed away, was seen crying by his Talmidim, and his Talmidim asked him, Rebbe, are you afraid? Are you scared? And the Kroz said, no, I'm not scared. But he said, in this world, for a few kopecks, for a few pennies, I could buy a mitzvah. And then when the time comes after 120, that's it. After 120, the opportunities to accomplish in this world are gone. I'm not afraid, said the Gra, but when a person passes on, there is a sadness that their meisim tovim and so on will no longer sanctify the world. Yet, when it comes to Lag BaOmer, something else entirely happens. An entirely different reaction of Yom Shemes Bo Aviv, entirely different reaction than the Gruz expression before he passed away. And in fact, Lag Bomer is referred to as Hilula. Hilula is a wedding. Hilula the Rashbi, the wedding of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. So not only is it a joyous day, it's referred to even as a wedding. What does that mean? That it's a wedding? Hilula the Rashbi? What does that mean? That's question number one. Question number two. Not only is it referred to as a wedding, Hilula the Rashbi, the wedding of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, but there is a strange custom that might be able to be explained in practical terms. The custom of the fires, the bonfires. Where did that come from? Now, it could very well be, you know, the rational side of me believes that it came about because there were many, many people that were coming to Meron. Each one was adding a fire, and eventually the fire became a bonfire, became an inferno. But there might be something more that's at play. There might be something more in the significance of fire than simply the fun of the children collecting the wood and lighting the fires. My son told me he's going to collect wood even though we're not having a bonfire this year. It's so entrenched in the mindset of the children here in Israel. What is that significance? And fire is central to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's identity. Eish dos hashara. He pulled out from his sheath, we sing in bar Yochai, the fire. The fire of Torah. Miminoi eish dos lamai, the Torah tells us that there is a fire that Torah represents in Parshas Zos HaBracha. And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai somehow embodies that fire. Or muflamala, he was a light, a shining fire from above. Of course, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai on his madrega errs when he comes out of the cave after 14 years. And what does he do? He burns something up. Fire and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai are inexorably connected. And it seems to me that it's not a coincidence. The bonfires of Lag BaOmer and the essence of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Let's spend some time thinking about the persona of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai through fire and contrast it to his great Rebbe. Rabbi Akiva, actually, his metaphor is an entirely different one, a conflicting one. Rabbi Akiva's metaphor is water. Rabbi Akiva, who is the most important figure in Kabbalah as a teacher of Torah after Moshe Rabbeinu, keep in mind the famous Chazal of Moshe Rabbeinu coming into the shir of Rabbi Akiva, not understanding Rabbi Akiva's shir. The direct connection between Rabbi Akiva and Moshe Rabbeinu, he is embodied by water. Rabbi Akiva's life story is mind-boggling. It begins with an ignoramus already at age 40 who sees water dripping through a stone. And he says to himself, if water could pierce through a stone, then my mind could truly understand and fathom all the words of the Torah. Fast forward, Rabbi Akiva as the teacher of all of Klal Yisrael, like Moshe Rabbeinu, the teacher of all of Klal Yisrael, who returns home with 24,000 Talmidim. He is ultimately killed by the Romans for learning and teaching Torah. Incidentally, that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai begged of him to continue to teach. And Rabbi Akiva, in a different context, said, of course I must go on teaching Torah, because just like a fish can't live without water, so too I can't live without HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. Water again. Number three. Ma'mikve mitaris hatmeyim, af HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitaris Yisrael. Just like the mikvah purifies a person, just so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu purifies Klal Yisrael through water. It's absolutely striking that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, is represented, his metaphor is one of water, and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is particularly fire. I think if we begin to understand those two metaphors, we get to a fantastic place of appreciating what Lag BaOmer is all about, what the Lev Tov that the Bnei Yisrael was referring to is all about, what our avoda is as we go to the next stage of Sfiras HaOmer, and really, really reveals so much about the power of the Jewish soul and Jewish survival. To really begin to appreciate what it says about the Jewish soul and Jewish survival, we have to revisit Rabbi Akiva now, not as the greatest teacher of Torah in Kabbalah after Moshe Rabbeinu, but also Rabbi Akiva in terms of his historical context. Rabbi Akiva's life, in many ways, is the most dramatic slice of personal triumph and tragedy and national triumph and tragedy that exists almost within all of Jewish history. Rabbi Akiva, who is the Am Haaretz, who becomes the Gadol Hador, but also the Rabbi Akiva who is killed, who's tortured to death over Torah. Rabbi Akiva, who sees the glory of the Beis HaMikdash and sees the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Akiva's triumph to be able to look at Churban and be able to give Klal Yisrael the chizuk to say, I'm able to laugh because even as the embers of the Beis HaMikdash are still hot, all of the destruction, Beis Mikdashenu v'sifartenu asher hilucha bo asaveisenu, haisa l'sreifa, Rabbi Akiva feels it. He feels the hot embers. And yet Rabbi Akiva is able to see the third Beis HaMikdash. And there's another part of Rabbi Akiva's triumph and tragedy. And that is, unlike Moshe Rabbeinu, who, although he can't go into Eretz Yisrael, he's clearly created a new leader. He's clearly shepherded the Jewish people to the promised land. He has built the Mikdash, and he has generated a clear and viable Masorah. Rabbi Akiva has it all cut from below him. During this period of time, all of his Masorah, all 24,000 Talmidim have passed away. And he starts again, and in many ways, in my mind, that's the greatest triumph of Rabbi Akiva. He starts again with five students. And one of them is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, whose yard site is right about now in Eretz Yisrael, starts again at the moment in which Rabbi Akiva's 24,000 Talmidim have passed away. Let's appreciate that context for a minute or two. That context is absolutely mind-boggling. That context is, as we described, tragedy and triumph together. And there are two tragedies that happen simultaneously in Rabbi Akiva's life. One is the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and the persecution, not only a destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, but the Romans, as Rav Soloveitchik described, the Romans realized that they cannot defeat the spirit of the Jewish people. They thought by simply destroying the temple, that would be enough. But the spirit of the Jewish people is not through its Beis HaMikdash, it's through its Torah. And so then follows this terrible oppression, where we run into caves and we try to hide to be able to pass on in the Masorah. So you have the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash with the persecution of Torah itself. But then there's something else that happens. The next thing that happens is the Masorah begins to wither. Lo nagu kavod ze beze. Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim aren't effective. They don't pass on the Masorah correctly. Rabbi Akiva's essence of Ahavta l'Reacha Kamocha has been undermined. And the punishment is just as severe as the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. The Masorah of Rabbi Akiva has not been passed on. And if you don't capture the essence of the Rebbe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, then you can't go on. That backdrop is absolutely essential in terms of understanding what happens with Lag BaOmer. What happens with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? Why Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's yahrzeit is not like any other yahrzeit? Why it's a hilula? And it helps us begin to understand the significance of the role of Kabbalah in the survival of the Jewish people. Let's go back to the metaphor. The metaphor of Rabbi Akiva is clearly water. What is water? What water does is it nurtures. It satiates. It provides life. Where does water come from? As the Pasuk describes, water as a metaphor of Torah, Yaroiv kamotar lichi, water comes from above, and it nurtures, and it gives life. Halacha, the Torah's hanigla, the revealed Torah, is our water. It is what Rabbi Akiva taught to all of his Talmidim. The essence of Bein Adam L'Chaveros V'Ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha. What Torah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's word that comes from high above, and it affects every part of our lives, from the moment that we get up until the moment that we go to sleep. Yaroiv kamotar lichki. That's what Torah as rain represents. It takes our lives that, God forbid, could be corporeal, animalistic, and it takes the Dvar Hashem and raises it up. It nurtures it. And that's what the Teres HaNigla is. But what happens if, God forbid, there's an awning? The plant and the seedlings are all sitting under a roof and the water doesn't reach. What happens if there's so much turmoil that the messages of the Rebbe, of Yarov Kamotar Lichi, for whatever reason, have not penetrated the hearts and the souls that are so much connected, this phenomenon was so much connected to the reality of that time, one of the most tragic times of our people. And Rabbi Akiva's tragedy, that he probably didn't see the Nechama to its end in his lifetime, was that it was all gone. 24,000 Talmidim have passed away. In other words, on a certain level, to no fault of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva's messages were not going to be passed down to the generation after his generation of Talmidim. This was a time of tragedy of such proportion that the Teiras HaMayim wasn't going to be effective. What Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai does in that cave in 14 years is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai finds a new medium. Yayin Yashan, Yayin Chodosh Bekankan Yashan. New wine in an old barrel. The old barrel that is the barrel from Sefer HaYetzirah. The tradition that goes back from Adam HaRishon of Sisrei HaTorah. Sisrei HaTorah, the secrets of Torah, are man's desire to understand God's mysterious world and painful world and difficult world, especially when we're locked up in a ma'ara, we're locked up in a cave. I see some people who have to be at home. During those times when people are locked up in a cave, so then there's a desire, a natural desire and a deep spiritual desire not to be bound by the four walls that are around us. To be able to sky and fly and to surge towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is Tiras HaEsh, where man escapes his corporeal condition and he looks to attach himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and transport himself to an entirely different reality, where he becomes connected not to the Dalet Amos that are around him, but something that's greater and something that's bigger and something that's beyond. That's Tiras HaNister. That's the secret Torah. That's the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is called Kabbalah. That's the revelation of the Zohar HaKadosh. The revelation of the Zohar is the understanding of how the upper worlds work. And the statement to man, and this is absolutely critical, that wherever you are, you have the ability to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if the area around you is not being nurtured by rain. Even if the area around you seems to be entirely dour and desolate, there's a spark that's inside of you. The Kedushas HaNeshama, the holy soul of a Jew that could raise himself up and grow and connect no matter what is going on around him. It doesn't require chabura. It doesn't require the Rosh Yeshiva with 24,000 Talmidim who are teaching Torah and Halacha that's going to transform all of society. What if society is not doing well? What if Klal Yisrael is under such persecution that there isn't the ability to spread Torah the way water is spread? Then there's another Torah that needs to be revealed. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, throughout our history, throughout all of our persecutions, whenever Klal Yisrael reaches the lowest point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals something beautiful that's never been revealed before. Of course, you and I know this. 1945, after the destruction of European Jewry, just 2 years later, the partition plan, where we return to Eretz Yisrael after 2,000 years, the Spanish Inquisition, and then the light that came out of Tzfat that immediately followed. Every single time throughout Jewish persecution, where it seems to be the darkest of points, HaKadosh Baruch Hu throws in a spark, and that spark becomes an inferno. And that spark often starts by yechidim, by certain individuals who reveal something that's amazing that is going to change Jewish history forever. So Rabbi Akiva is not disappointed in the end. It's beyond my scope. I could prove to you that Rabbi Akiva has already been planting these seeds of the Tiras HaEsh, even though years before he was emphasizing the Tiras HaMayim. And Rabbi Akiva plants these seeds with his one Talmud, five Talmidim, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai being one of them, and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai reveals the Tiras HaNister, which is a Jew's ability to escape persecution, that even when the embers of the Beis HaMikdash are still burning, that we could find the Eish HaNeshama that could elevate us no matter what, no matter what Golus there is, no matter what persecution there is. And that, Rabbosai, is the metaphor of the fire, of the bonfire of Rabbi Shimon. The bonfire of Rabbi Shimon represents, that bonfire represents the idea that a Jew could fly and go beyond his Dalet Amos, the desire to come higher and closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, of course, we know that the metaphor goes in two directions. It could be misused. Al pi madrei gasa, who are we to judge? But Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai misuses that fire when he comes out of the cave, when he burns something that's not supposed to be burned. The first line comes out, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, go back, you're going to have to reformulate it. You're going to have to, there's going to need to be a redactic over here. And Rabbi Shimon goes back and he does. That's Tiras HaEsh, that's the Tiras HaKabbalah, which emphasizes the unique neshama of every individual, and the emphasis is neshama as opposed to the guf. Halacha nurtures the guf in this world where he sanctifies everything that's corporeal from the moment he gets up until the moment he goes to sleep, and Kabbalah desires to escape, not in a negative way, but in a way in which we come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu no matter what our predicament is. That's the significance, the amazing significance of the context of Hilula Derashbi. So the fires of Lag BaOmer are now understood. The fires of Lag BaOmer are that we have the ability to grow and come closer to Sisrei HaTorah simply because we're a Jew with a Nishmas Yisrael. A Jew with a Nishmas Yisrael could connect to the desire to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He doesn't need to know how to water. He doesn't need to know how to use this Sif Shulchan Aruch and that Sif Shulchan Aruch. He wants to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why Hilula Derashbi has become so popular amongst every Jew in Klal Yisrael, even though its basis in halacha is very, very iffy. And of course, that's why it's called Hilula Derashbi. That's why it's called a chasana. It's called a chasana because, unlike in general the perspective of the Tiras Hanigla to death, where there is the absence of the Kedusha of a tzaddik in this world to transform the material, death from the perspective of Kabbalah is the rejoicing of the neshama coming back to the Kisei HaKavod. And that joy is a joy that every Jew begins to feel when he thinks about that no matter what, I can be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I have a neshama chelek elokam mimal that could be connected to the Kisei HaKavod. Oh, Rabbosai, now we're able, with this, all of this in mind, we're able to get to the avodah of Lag BaOmer. What did the Halig of Bnei Yisachar say? The Bnei Yisachar taught us, Lev Toif, that the first 32 days is the avodah of the Lev. And we spoke about last time, that's the personal avodah that the Shem Yishmol describes, is the one in which every individual works on those things that inside of him is Meichel Behema, to try to reach a place of the pinnacle of Tzelem Elokim. Writes the Nefesh HaChaim, Shar Aleph Perek Beis. What is the lave? The heart represents the meeting point of the guf and the neshama. The guf and the neshama. There are people here who I see, who I'm learning with now, who I've learned Nefesh HaChaim with. And if you remember, we learned Shar Aleph Perek Beis. Some of you I only learned Shar Dalet with. Shar Aleph Perek Beis. There Reb Chaim Volozhin describes that the heart is that meeting point between guf and neshama. Reb Chaim Volozhin then goes on to say that the outer manifestation of God's Shechina is the Beis HaMikdash, which is Lev HaOlam. It's the heart of the world. It's the meeting point between the upper worlds and the lower worlds. But there's a higher place, says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, a holier place than the Mokom HaMikdash and the Evin Shesia. And that's every Jewish heart, because every Jewish heart represents the meeting part of the Chelek Elokam Mimal and the Guf of the human being. Toiv of Lag BaOmer, the transition that we've mamish taken together. I'm looking outside now and the sun is set. We've gone from Lev to Toiv. The transition from Lev to Toiv is the transition in which we begin to go to the place that we're no longer working simply on the midos that hold back the Lev, but there's an emphasis now. We're no longer in the place of struggle, but we're in the place in which our neshama desires to go higher and higher, what Hilula Derashbi represents. It's not a coincidence that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's yard site is the time that all of his compatriots, almost all of his colleagues, stopped passing away. Because Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai represents the tikkun of the selfishness of the guf of lo nagu kavod ze bezeh, to the recognition that all of our mishigas, All of our silliness that creates divisions amongst us are all silliness that started with a focus on the goof as opposed to the lev. The goof that had its wants and its desires. The goof, as the Ramban describes in the Geras HaRamban, that wasn't able to speak softly to others. The Ramban describes, Tidaber kol dvarecha benachas, if you speak softly, ubazeti notzel minakas, that's how you're going to be saved for anger, because the essence of anger is all about that I'm angry that someone else got his way, and I'm not willing to respect the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a different ratzon sometimes, and Reuven doesn't have a different ratzon at times. Anger is the response in which a person tries to fight back against a reality that someone else might have a different position, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a different position. The Bechina of Lev Tov is a transition in which we begin to see that Tov, that everything in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world is for the good, is for the best. Everything in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world is for the good and for the best. Kol man d'avid rachmona l'tav avid. The avoda of tov is corresponds to the idea that we recognize that we're all part of one neshama. We're all part of a chelek elokam mimal. We're all going to that point. We're looking and aspiring to that point of vayichan sham Yisrael k'neged ahar k'yish echad b'leiv echad, where all of us are together for Kabbalah Satayra. It's a time in which we focus on this bechina, not only on our own personal lev, that it should be consistent, that our neshama should be consistent with the guf, but going to a higher place, a place of tov. The magefa ends, Rabosai, the magefa ends. You hear the reference? The magefa ends. The magefa ends when? On Lag BaOmer, because we're able to raise ourselves from those parts that are self-absorbed and self-involved. Hevidanis adam lekav schus. There is a chiyuv for a person to judge others favorably, to look at them betov. It's not objective. It could go either way. You see Reuven do something. You read in the newspaper, Reuven did something. You could be danim lekav schos, or you could danim lekav chov, favorably or unfavorably. The halacha says that there's a chiyuv to judge him lekav schos. Why is there a chiyuv to judge him lekav schos? The reason there is a chiyuv is because that individual has a tselem elokim, that individual has a chelek elokam mimal, and they are just as much a part of us as we are a part of them, and that's a responsibility that we have not to be objective, because we recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control. We are not the Dayan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Dayan. Our responsibility is to recognize them as a sister and as a brother, as part of us. Vayichan sham Yisrael k'neged ahar, k'ish echad lev echad. It's the same idea that when it comes to the notion of Hakaras HaTov, when it comes to the idea of Hakaras HaTov, writes Rabbi Yerucham of Mir, that if someone did something good for you, you're not supposed to judge how good it was or how not good it was. If at the end of the day we have a responsibility to have Hakaras HaTov, to being living in Eretz Yisrael, then that means at the end of the day, those who are the purveyors of that goodness, we are not supposed to be the judges. Because all we are is a chelek elokam mimal, and our responsibility is to spread tov into HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. That is the progression of lev tov. That's when the magefa ends. The magefa ends when we are able to recognize that ultimately we're all part of the same team. We're not on different teams. When we're able to recognize that it's not our job to judge, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate judge, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's in control. Tiras, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Hilula Dirashbi, the fire that's going up higher and higher and closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what that represents is the understanding that we are not bound to the corporeal selfishness that most of the world is bound to. And that is the triumph of Rabbi Akiva. That is the triumph of the Eish HaTorah. That is the ability of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai to take. Hakadosh Baruch Hu should give us a siyata d'shmaya to be able to do this properly, Lag BaOmer properly. Siyata d'shmaya.